You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by Harrison Fagan. He is spending yet another day at the day spa. He is there getting his spine worked on and getting that mani and pedi on. I don't know if he goes for the whole kit and caboodle, but I mean, based on the way he interacts with a lot of people, I'm kind of thinking it might be a good idea. Just throwing that out there. But it's just me for this show. I am going to dive into the mailbag and answer your guys' questions as you left them on iTunes and on my Twitter account in my mentions. So, as always, make sure you guys are following the show on iTunes, Megaphone/Panoply, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Let's go ahead and I'm going to tackle some of these from Twitter first, and then I will jump into the iTunes one. So let's go with this. First question is a big one. It's an important one, and it's one that might stir up a little bit of controversy here. It is from @John_Azteca_LA. Raisin Cane's or Chick-fil-A? It's Raisin Cane's, and it's Raisin Cane's all day. Like, Chick-fil-A's not even open on Sundays. Like, what happens if you want, like, a spicy chicken sandwich, and it happens to be a Sunday, you have been watching football all day, and maybe it was a Sunday fun day, and you enjoyed a few mimosas at brunch, and afterward you're thinking to yourself, man, it sounds really good I could really go for a spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A, and you can't. Sorry, man, that takes you out. That takes you out of the running for me to be the best chicken place around. I prefer Popeyes or Church's Chicken over all of these, but Raising Cane's, those chicken fingers with that sauce that they give, that's pretty damn tough to beat. And look, if you're going to take advice from people on food, if those people that you're taking advice from aren't fat, then you should really rethink the people that you're listening to about food. And it just so happens I'm a fat person, so take my word for it. Let's get to the next question here. This is from Albert Dian @PrinceConti1. Would you rather, 1, keep every one of the current Lakers young core and pick up LeBron next year, or 2, lose Randall Clarkson and Kuzma and pick up LeBron and Boogie? Ooh, that's a good question. Oh, man, this is a good one. All right, so before I get to the actual question, I think it's important to point out that I don't think that first scenario is possible. What we have learned about the NBA is that these guys are trying to team up. If they're leaving their current situations, it's to team up with each other. And I think it's cool that that's the case. But if the Lakers are hoping to just walk away from next offseason with just Paul George or just LeBron or just Boogie or whomever, that's probably not going to happen, because you're asking these guys, especially like Paul George, all of them, really. I mean, you're going to ask DeMarcus Cousins, hey, do you mind leaving Anthony Davis to come play with who exactly? You're gonna ask Paul George, hey, do you mind not playing with Russell Westbrook anymore? Actually, that's not quite a great example. Russell Westbrook would probably suck to play with. But you guys get the point. It really comes down to, why would these guys leave winning situations to just play by themselves as a part of a rebuild in Los Angeles with these Lakers? And in the vast majority of these cases, that's just not going to work. That's not going to sell them enough on the situation that they would be coming to. So to get back to the actual question, would I rather keep everyone and sign LeBron or trade a few important pieces to get LeBron and DeMarcus Cousins? I would rather go with one, to be completely honest. I would rather keep the flexibility that you maintain if your core is still young and on their rookie contracts. I don't know if Boogie... I think DeMarcus Cousins is one of the more talented players that the league has had in quite some time. But I also don't know if he... I wish we would start analyzing players by impact and not talent level. And I think Boogie, for his talent level, isn't as impactful on situations as you would hope for somebody who you basically have to set aside, you have to build around because of how talented he is. So I would rather keep Randall and Clarkson and Kuzma to play with LeBron and try to build that way, because as we're watching with Randall, he's becoming one of these guys, one of the rare guys in the NBA, who can actually switch onto anybody on a basketball court and do so and be fine defensively for that stretch. Kuzma is one of the more exciting rookies that the league has right now. And Jordan Clarkson, for all the hand-wringing that has been done about Jordan Clarkson to this point, he doesn't lead an offense as well as you'd like. He hasn't grown defensively the way some people would maybe imagine or hope for. All of that stuff aside, he has been a very key part of the majority of the Lakers' wins so far. So I would rather keep those three guys if possible and just sign LeBron, but I don't think it's very realistic. I'm going to answer one more question here from Twitter. It's a good one. At Press Medina asks, with Randall's performance in the last games, if it goes further until the end of the season, still trade him or pay the man? That's the million-dollar question, or probably $60 million question. I am going to get to that in a second. So, the question again from at Press Medina. He is the Lion King. Shouts to Simba. With Randall's performance in the last games, if it goes further until the end of the season, still trade him or pay the man? If this is the Randall that we're going to see moving forward and he's going to continue to build off of what we've seen from him this year, I don't understand why any team would move him, almost regardless of situation. He is, again, look across the entire NBA. Think of all of the players that could be on an NBA basketball court, and ask yourself how many guys can actually switch on to Steph Curry and Kevin Durant in a matter of a minute or so and force a tough shot from both of them, and both of those guys wound up missing those shots. So again, ask yourself how many guys in the NBA, even as anecdotal and singular as that example might be, there aren't very many. It's like Draymond, it's LeBron, it's Kevin Durant, it's not very many people who can do that. And that is about as valuable a commodity as there is in the sport, so you have to keep him. Now look, there's a chance that this is just Julius Randle in a contract year. There's a chance that this is fool's gold and he's on a hot streak defensively. I don't think either of those things are the case. I think he's a hardworking kid who figured stuff out the way NBA players figure things out between their age 20 to 24 seasons. And he deserves a ton of props, and he deserves whatever contract he's going to get in the offseason because he is that good of a player. All right, I'm going to switch over here to iTunes, and I'm going to go all the way down to the last. So last time I did this kind of thing, we ended at Ty the Boss's asking about whether or not basically rethinking the way we look at bus, right? So the next one above that was the review that led to witness protection guests, and that's going to be something that we're going to do recurringly moving forward. There's another question asking about an account on Instagram. I'm not really interested in answering that one. So let's go to YayLab22. What up, y'all? I was wondering if it's possible for the Lakers to get rid of Lonzo Bust, possibly to the Nets, and should Kyle Kuzma be in the Hall of Fame already? Just kidding, for reals, should Brandon Ingram be in contention for most improved player, and where do you see his ceiling at this point in time? Love the podcast, your boy Ethan, blah, 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 blah. You can find the Eurostemble video basically anywhere. Harrison is listening right now. I'm sure he'll tweet it out as we speak. But to get back to Brandon Ingram as most improved player, I think there's obviously a case to be made, right? Nobody saw this type of improvement coming from Ingram because he was that bad last year, for most of last year. That said, second-year players don't usually win the award because everybody improves drastically. If you're going to stick around in the NBA, you improve drastically from your rookie to sophomore year, and it's not quite a fair dynamic to award that in that situation. The guy who I think should get considered as most improved player of this season is the guy we were talking about just now. Julius Randle is doing things defensively, and now it's tough because of the way people vote on these things. We tend to be pretty stupid and just look at counting stats and say, oh, wow, that guy's scoring way more points than he was last year. Oh, wow, he's shooting at a higher percentage than he was last year. I wish we would get away from that and award it to guys who are making a larger impact on their team. So with all that said, I would say Julius Randle is more deserving than Brandon Ingram right now. That's not to say that Ingram hasn't had a very good year. In my opinion, Ingram is neck and neck with Randle for being the Lakers' best all-around player. And both of those guys deserve a ton of credit for the way that they have improved. I would just lean Randle because he has gone from what he was last year in year three to what he is this year in year four, and has visibly figured things out in ways that I definitely did not predict. Next question from Punched Student. I am wondering if we could possibly have realistic expectations for this group of young players. Shouldn't there be an opportunity for a new team and coach to get it all together? Are we trying to win or develop? We need to decide what is the objective for this group. I agree. I think it's crazy that people wanted to fire Luke Walton after a single loss to the Boston Celtics. I think it's crazy that people are just writing off Lonzo Ball when he's still making an impact despite being one of the worst shooters that the league has ever seen from a rookie. I think it's crazy that before their first full trade deadline, people are ready to write off Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka. We need to not only see their first full trade deadline session, but we also need to see how they do in the offseason when it comes to signing players, right? That's when we can fully analyze the D'Angelo Russell trade. And I'm not going to get into that because you guys get really angry when I do. But yeah, I think the goal of this season should be to see as much development from guys as we possibly can. Now, it's tough because there are a ton of guys on this across the roster who have to develop. And you kind of have to be a little cold-blooded when it gets down to, all right, who's going to stick around past this year? Who isn't going to? Look, I like Larry Nance Jr. He seems like a really nice guy. He's been on the show. He seems like the kind of guy everybody loves having as a teammate. All that said, if I had to choose between him, Kyle Kuzma, and Julius Randle, like I've already made that decision. I've already moved on. It's time to move on. And it's tough because that's how quickly you have to make these decisions. And with that said, it wouldn't shock me at all if Larry Nance Jr., if the Lakers do move on from Larry Nance Jr. and he just all of a sudden becomes a really good role player on a really good team, that wouldn't shock me at all. That's his player type. But that's kind of what you have to do. So If I'm going to set a realistic goal for this young group, it's impossible to do it because the Lakers aren't interested at this point, it doesn't sound like, in sticking around for the long-term rebuild. So as much as we would like to say, yeah, I think this team could turn into a borderline Western Conference contender when all these guys hit their primes, like as much as we would like to talk about that and analyze that hypothetically, it's impossible. Because the Lakers are looking to bring in LeBron, and they're looking to bring in Paul George, and if and when that happens, a lot of these guys aren't going to be around anymore. They're going to have to make a choice. All right, Ingram has been good enough that he is 100% more untouchable than Lonzo Ball moving forward. So, do you move Lonzo to get LeBron and Paul George help? That's a question you got to ask, right? If that situation arises, if the time comes and you decide, all right, Julius Randle has proven himself to be more untouchable than just about everybody else on the roster. All right, well, that means Jordan Clarkson is definitely gone. You can't extend Ivica Zubac in the offseason because you're trying to save every penny that you possibly can. And again, who do you keep? If it comes down to it, do you keep Lonzo Ball or do you keep Julius Randle? And I honestly, frankly, I have no idea how I would lean in that hypothetical. It's tough, again, to fully contextualize what these guys can all be when at the end of the day, the Lakers, frankly, are more invested in bringing in star power than developing potential star power. All right. Next question from Pablo from Puerto Rico. Hey Pablo from Puerto Rico. Aside from Paul George, LeBron, or Boogie, what other free agent could help the Lakers win next year? Look at the list, man. Like the list isn't pretty. It's not great. I'll spend a few minutes on some names here in a second. But the list is pretty top heavy. And the Lakers would be in a pretty bad spot if they strike out. I'll fully put that into perspective here in a second. So the guys, aside from the LeBrons, aside from the Boogies, aside from the Paul Georges, look at this list. So you have Chris Paul. He's not leaving Houston. J.J. Redick, is he going to make the kind of impact that you're hoping for when the conversation started at LeBron and Paul George? Probably not. The Lakers have their own Brook Lopez and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Are those the kind of guys that after hearing about the potential of signing LeBron and Paul George over the last calendar year or so, if you walk away with just the same roster basically that they have this year, that's a pretty major hit to the psyches of Laker fans and the Lakers organization as a whole. Tony Parker is old. Derek Favors has some injury concerns over it, and he's 26. So, do you think he will take the next step forward as he reaches his prime? Maybe. But is that a name that is going to bring people to the table and say, yeah, this organization is going in the right direction? Amir Johnson, he's just Amir Johnson. Joe Johnson, he's just Joe Johnson at this point. Trevor Booker, Trevor Ariza, Avery Bradley, Vince Carter, Channing Frye, Corey Brewer, Jabari Parker, like all of these guys. It's just that the list isn't exactly teeming with all kinds of talent, especially franchise-altering talent. And when you consider what the Lakers are looking to accomplish, you need franchise-altering talent. And if they don't pull that together, then Pelinka and Magic are going to have some questions to answer. All right, next question. All right, so from then L33, Does it make sense to not pursue LeBron if any of the following happen? Lakers have a 7 to 10 game improvement over the last year. Boogie and George re-sign or sign elsewhere. Cavs get bounced early in the playoffs. LeBron can't beat Warriors with his team now. Couldn't last year. What could the Lakers put together next year that can beat them? Why put together a team that will lose to the Warriors? Why not follow Celtics' path and be into the next great team? All right, there's obviously a lot to answer here. I don't think the Lakers' win improvement changes very much in terms of what they would be hoping to do in the offseason. If anything, if they win more games than people really anticipated, a lot more games than people anticipated, then all that's going to do is spur the conversation about, well, look, LeBron, this is a team obviously going in the right direction. You should really consider this, right? It's not going to be like if they squeak into the playoffs miraculously and win a ton more games than people thought they might. That's not going to change what people are looking for in the offseason. Definitely not from fans or the front office. If DeMarcus Cousins and George re-sign or sign elsewhere, then you don't really have much choice, right? I just went over the list in the last question. The Lakers are in a tough spot. I do think, based on how things are going in Oklahoma City, Paul George is probably counting down the days until he doesn't have to let Russell Westbrook get rebounds in order for him to get his triple doubles. Like, I think that's something that's actually going on. We have to see how long Anthony Davis is going to be out. If Boogie is the catalyst that gets the Pelicans into the playoffs, and he does that without Anthony Davis, will he respond by thinking to himself, look, I can do this in LA if I can do this in New Orleans? Or will he ask himself, well, geez, if I was able to do this by myself, just imagine what I would be able to do with Anthony Davis by my side, right? So those are tough questions that those guys are going to ask themselves and answer for themselves. If those guys aren't available, then the Lakers failed, frankly. Like, if the Lakers walk away from this upcoming summer and they don't get those guys, then it was a kind of sort of disaster. That they can still maybe rebound from. It's just going to take a lot longer to do so. If the Cavs get bounced early in the playoffs, like, basically, long story short on that, on the last part of this question, why sign LeBron if it doesn't mean you're going to win a title anyway? Just ask yourself that question one more time. Just say it out loud. Here, I'll say it again. Why sign LeBron if it doesn't mean you're going to win a title, if it doesn't guarantee you a title? You have LeBron James on your team. Like, the point of sports isn't always to win titles. It is if you're participating. It is if you're the coach or a player or a GM. But for us as fans, the point of sports is to entertain us. And I can't think of very many things that can be more entertaining than watching LeBron James play basketball for the team that I have loved since birth, basically. All right, next question here. We have one more to go. English is my second language. I love the show, and it's the first podcast I listen to each morning. At this point, with his performance, attitude, and outside court problems, I would rather have D'Angelo over Lonzo. Should they consider trading him with Deng? I'm guessing, should they consider trading Lonzo with Deng? No, I don't think it's going to reach that point. The Lakers can't, in back-to-back off seasons, send out top-flight lottery talent just to get rid of a bad contract. Like, you can't make that a habit because it's insanely short-sighted and it continues to set the market. Anytime you have a bad contract, guess what teams are going to be calling and asking for first? And they're going to say, wait, why would I take on Luol Deng's contract or whatever the future bad contract is that the Lakers are hoping to get rid of if and when that kind of thing happens? Why would we take that contract on when another team did so and received a D'Angelo Russell or they received Alonzo Ball or whatever the Lakers attached to Luol Deng this year? I think the best course forward for Luol Deng is to ride out this season and stretch him via that stretch provision. Yes, it means you're going to be paying him for the next 5 years, but that's something that you're going to have to do. It's better than just giving away contracts for, and look, guess what would probably happen if that team was to land Luol Deng? Like, let's say the Lakers do send him to Brooklyn, and the contracts are really hard to make work here, but let's say the Lakers do send Luol Deng and Lonzo Ball to Brooklyn. Guess what Brooklyn would probably turn around and do at the end of the season? They would stretch him the same way the Lakers would. So why give an asset if the team that you're sending him to is basically just going to turn around and do the exact thing that you should probably do this coming offseason, this coming summer? It's a tough dynamic. As we've talked about, these are tough questions. I want to very quickly spend a couple minutes on a more positive note, because the Lakers are currently on a win streak. I want to give Luke Walton kudos for recognizing the lineup that was working, recognizing how bad Dwight Howard was in the pick and roll defensively, and sticking it to him in this last win against the Charlotte Hornets, a pretty good team. Like, sure, the Hornets are pretty good. That's a nice, strong win on the road, and the Lakers deserve credit for it. Brandon Ingram continues to just, every game, at this point, it's reached a point where every single game he does something, and you're like, wow. Well, how could anybody have doubted this kid before? And I ask that, and I ask that as somebody who doubted him. I constantly slap myself over the back of the head and say, "Wow, you are a doofus for saying the things that you said about Brandon Ingram." As I talk about Lonzo Ball, his game is coming along slowly, yes, but he's still making impact plays despite his lack of shooting. And it was good to see Luke reward the guys who were playing well down the stretch of that game with the opportunity to close it out. And those guys who did close it out did so really well, obviously, and they won the game. So Lakers have another winnable game here. They're playing the New York Knicks. It'll be a fun one. I'm Anthony Irwin. By the time the next show comes around, Harrison will be back, and he will be gone from the Daily Titan. So you'll be hearing a lot more of Harrison and I yelling at each other, as people have apparently liked over the last couple shows when he and I have disagreed. So have a good one, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We will talk to you on Tuesday. As always, find the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Keep these questions coming with 5-star reviews, and we will get to them. And if you see a bad review, like if you see a review that you disagree with, just say it's not helpful. That kind of thing helps us. The more you guys support us in this way, the better equipped we are to continue to provide the content that you, for whatever reason, like from us. So that kind of support would be greatly, greatly appreciated moving forward. Thank you to those of you who sent in questions, whether via Twitter or iTunes. Let's keep this thing going, everybody. Have a good one.